This is Vrindavan Mahimamrita, new series of classes. We're starting on July 10th, 2011 in Radhakund, because many people just now moved to Vrindavan from Delhi and Bombay. And we want to enter deeply into Vrindavan by deeply appreciating Vrindavan. And if we don't know what we're dealing with, we won't be able to appreciate it. So this book is all about Vrindavan. And I thought it's very appropriate. From now on, all of our classes are going to be more focused on Vrindavan and Panchanga Bhakti specifically, and especially Radha and Krishna. And Kartik, we hope to give classes on Krishna Karanamrita and Radha Rasa Nidhi. And stories from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is one of my favorites. I'm still mining, pulling out some more jewels from the Lilamrita story mine. Every time I go in the mine, I think, oh, that's all the stories. And last year I said, well, that's the end of Chaitanya's stories. I said, there must be more. So I started going through the chapters. Oh, and I discovered, and I discovered enough stories last year for last year and this year, I think, and I still haven't finished going through the book. And personally, when I listen to these tapes, I like those most. I really like the stories from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's there. And then in this series, our daily series, will be Vrindavan Mahimamrita, then Chaitanya Bhagavat, until we finish the book, because I want to make a complete book of that. And then after Chaitanya Bhagavat, then this Vrindavan Mahimamrita will be followed by, I have to see, what after that? Maybe Radha Rasa Nidhi or Vilap Kusumanjali. I'm going in this wavelength now. A little different wavelength. Because it's all a sequel and will be compatible with the new book also. It's all part of a whole presentation on different levels. So we're starting this class, Vrindavan Mahimamrita. So as an introduction, I want to mention, everyone should offer their thanks and gratitude to my late godbrother, Kushakrata Prabhu, who from the Krishna Institute, who first brought this wonderful classic book into English. And actually, he's the only one that's translated the entire book into English in the last 25 years. There's no second copy. And this his translation, of course, he printed it himself in 17 little paperback books, which I had all 17. And back in 1991, when I lived in Radha Damodar, 1989 rather, when I lived in Radha Damodar, Prabhupada's rooms, and I selected so many verses from those books to put in my Appreciating Vrindavan in 1991. And it was really a very important book for me to increase my love and attachment understanding of Vrindavan. A very, very helpful book, because I was naturally attracted to Vrindavan from 1977. Tried to move here 4 years later in 81. I got as far as Rishikesh. And Kartik I spent in Vrindavan. Then I went to Rishikesh. And then I had to go back to America for seva, so I couldn't come back for 6 years. So when I read this book, it really deepened my attachment and appreciation for Braj and understanding of all how everything's so transcendental and divine and special. Really opened my mind and heart with the proper conceptions and feelings towards Vrindavan by Tungavidya Sakhi. Prabhudananda Saraswati is Tungavidya, one of the Astasakhis of Radharani. So he can explain more than anything. So it was a very helpful book for me, and I'm very appreciative of Kushakrata. At the time I was buying the book, he was publishing a sataka at every so month or so. So I remember it was 17 satakas. Each chapter was a separate little paperback book. And I kept them all in a library I was maintaining at Radha Damodar. And a steel almirah, which has since been removed, was in Prabhupada's room. There was a wooden bookshelf there before I was there, and all the Prabhupada's books were eaten by worms. The set of Bhagavatams was incomplete, and there was no CCs, and it was supposed to be for devotees to read when they visit Prabhupada's rooms. So I bought a nice 6-foot almirah with glass doors and bought all new sets of books plus so many other nice, wonderful books so devotees could take out a book and read in Prabhupada's rooms. So we were eagerly awaiting each sataka as it came because they weren't published at one time. One book came out and 3 months later sataka 2 and then 3. And I thought, how many are there? And it finally came 17 little books. So now, of course, it's his same translation. Here it is. That was 1988, I think he started publishing. That was 12. 23 years later, his book has reappeared in one volume and edited by our godbrother, Purna Pragya Prabhu. And it's very convenient now, published in one edition, one volume book. And I would say it's a Bible for any would-be, could-be, trying-to-be, wanna-be Brijvasi. If you're moving to Vrindavan or living in Vrindavan, don't have Vrindavan Mahimamrita, then it's like a Muslim without the Quran, or a Hindu without the Puran, or a Christian without the Bible. I would say it's a must. Bhagavad Gita, every pious Hindu has Bhagavad Gita. But only those that love Vrindavan and are trying to love Vrindavan and trying to understand Vrindavan, and those whose sadhya is Vrindavan, the goal of their bhajan, the goal of their life, heart, prayers, meditations, everything is Vrindavan and the Prem Seva Radha Govinda Yugal, then they'll want to have all the most important books that will develop their Braj Bhakti and their Gopika Bhakti and their attachment to Radha and Krishna. So we are introducing you to those books. And a word to the wise is sufficient. If you don't have the textbook, then you should immediately buy it. I think most all of you do. So we want to thank Kushakrata. And there's also one devotee, godbrother, who is with us. His name is Dasarath Sutta, and he's published very many wonderful translations of books, and he made some outline of Vrindavan Mahimamrita, which I've gotten some nice ideas from, and I want to offer my appreciation to him. I don't know him personally, nor have I seen him maybe once in my life. We communicated once by letter in 1987 when I was in Vrindavan. But he's a very scholarly devotee. I know that much, and printed many, many wonderful books. And he's a master of English language, very poetic. And when he's done all the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song books, Sharanagati and Gita Mala, and
nectar books,
and they are really Radhakrishna nectar book. And so then, of course, I want to offer my most humble dandavats to the author, Srila Prabhupada Saraswati Ki.
Jai.
Sometimes there's a debate about the identity of Prabodhananda Saraswati, nowadays especially, about his ID. Was he formerly a Mayavadi sannyasi from Benares? His name at that time, his name was Prakashanda Saraswati, and he was converted to Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and he changed his name, or, which is what many people at Radhakund and other places, and many Gaudiyas contend that, and our side, we have so many issues of contention. It's funny. Red cloth, parampara, siddha pranali, diksha, gorkishwar, just Kali Yuga. It's just the way Kali Yuga is. So you say this, if you say this, then we say this. So then you just have, because they can provide evidence on both sides. Was he actually from the Sri Sampradaya, and was he the brother of Venkata and Trimala Bhatta? And was he the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami? This is the question. Some people say he's always been Prabhupada Saraswati, and he's the a brother of Venkata Bhatta. He's a South Indian Brahmin. He's not a Mayavadi sannyasi. Has anyone heard this discussion or argument? It's quite going on, very popular, for those who like to waste time in these points. Why don't you just read his book and surrender to his teachings, no matter where you're from. Read Radharasura Nidhi, read Chaitanya Satika, or was it Sri Navadvipa Satika, read Vrindavan Maimamrita, and surrender to the teachings and figure out later who wrote it and how it got there. The book, ISKCON and its affiliates believe in the later, they believe that he's, and they cite Bhakti Ratnakara as evidence. Bhakti Ratnakara as evidence, and there's some other, so many other evidences. There's a whole lot of arguments about this in the front of this book. If you read the very introduction of this book, you'll see the two arguments presented. The book was composed in 1522 AD, and this title, Vrindavan Mahimamrita, what does it mean? It means the nectarine glories of Radha Krishna's divine forest pastimes. This is a Sanskrit work in 17 chapters, and it contains, interesting, number 7 is there. It has 17 chapters and 1,771 shlokas. It's a Sanskrit work, said that. Each chapter is called a sataka. Vrindavan Mahimamrita describes virtually, this is the description, he wrote a small book description, Dasara Sutta, and you understand his erudition in English is quite poetic. He's also a musician. He released a tape once. He makes all kinds of flutes and plays them, bamboo flutes. He's a very, you know, well-rounded person, language and communication. So he says, he describes, not even Vrindavan Mahimamrita virtually describes virtually every facet of the divine realm of Sri Vrindavan. Not even a stone or a twig goes unnoticed. The author's mind reels and wanders all over the holy abode of Braj as he gives us an astonishing account of the sights, sounds, and smells he encounters while living there. Prabhananda Saraswati observed the ecstatic condition of the Yamuna in one shloka or two. Then he shifts and focuses on a tree, and then he shifts to the glory, and the next verse to a creeper, and then the next verse he exclaims, "Aho!" as he suddenly gets a spurti or a vision of some beautiful pastime, some prankish novel pastime spontaneously performed by the divine couple in appears in Vrindavan in his heart by a spurti. He's just looking, oh, these beautiful trees and the parrots, and there's Yamuna, oh, and there's Radha and Krishna, they're coming out of a kunja. And that's when you read it, you say, wait a minute, when you read the verse, 1 minute you're in the Yamuna, the next minute you're with the parrots, and then the next minute, then a verse later you'll say, oh, women are no good. You say, where were we? He's having a spurti of Radha and Krishna, and he says, stay far away from the word woman. If you hear the word woman, you should just run 100 miles away. It's amazing. That's why he's... Then Prabhupada Saraswati rambles on extensively about the uselessness of material life or the shackles of material desires. Because he has this spurti, he's appreciating all this divinity and all this beautiful sweetness and variegatedness of Vrindavan. Then, oh, my Lord. And then he sees a pastime. He describes a pastime in a verse. And then he loses that spurti and he comes to bhaya dasha. It's called external consciousness, because that's internal consciousness. Spurti, he's there. He's actually in Aprakat Lila. He's seeing it in a vision in his heart and mind. Oh, this body, this wretched body, this samsara, this time factor. Oh, this. And then he goes on about the useless. This body is useless. What is it for? Now I can't see the pastimes. I don't even see Vrindavan anymore. My mind is telling me it's ordinary, and my mind is telling me I should leave. Oh, this, take a stick and break my mind. My tongue is starting to speak something bad about the Brijvasis. What is this? This use, I cut out my tongue. And so then he goes on. 1 minute he's in the Kunjalila, next minute he's very much, and that's us. He's writing that for us. So that sankalpa and vikalpa, we accept all those good things and stay there with those spurtis and try to get those spurtis and eliminate and remove and wash off all that dirt and uselessness that we're in. Have one foot in the uselessness. We have nine toes in the uselessness and one toe in the braja. I don't even say one foot in the braja, that's too much. We have one foot and four toes, one complete foot and four toes of another foot in the uselessness of samsara. We got one toe, and is it the big toe, Braj? It's the pinky toe. It's a little piggy baby toe. That's all we have. That much we have in the Braja Dham. And do we have a toe? We have a toenail. Parangali. Parangali, I think, is the toenail. This is beautiful. Then suddenly that he's rambling on extensively about the uselessness of material life and the shackles and bondage and prison house of material desire. Then, suddenly, and seemingly helplessly, the author is transported into some other ecstatic mood of observing Braja Dham. Like you're on this roller coaster of his mind or his experience. He's like, vroom, vroom. Like you're chanting japa and suddenly you fall asleep and you're off, zoomed off somewhere in some other world, you know. So he says, hey, Prabhu, wake up. Where am I? It's in temple. But he's writing it all, and it's all, you know, transcendental experience. And this is all going on in Kaliya Daha. His Bhajan Kuja, you can go there and pay respects to him. His Bhajan Kuja and Samadhi are in the same place. And right behind there, behind Kaliya Daha, there's the Kaliya tree. You go around the back, there's some sadhus, nice sadhus in that little kunja there. They live there, very friendly type. Yeah, everyone's been there? I've taken some devotees there. I went there many times praying. When this book came out, it was so much offer. I used to go there and do puja and pray a lot. I used to beg Prabhupada Saraswati and I could stay in Vrindavan. Because I was here on a visa. I can't even stay in India with the speaker of Vrindavan. Very precarious position to be in. You don't know what the feeling is like. You don't know when any minute you can get kicked out, you know, and your visa's up and I only have one more month. I have to apply again if they don't continue, I'm out. I'm on a 1-year visa, and 1 year, then you have to go to Delhi, make a new application, pay your fees. Then they process, hey, what is this? You're here 2 years, they get out, go. And I was here 3 years, and 4 years, and 5 years, and 6 years, and 7 years, and 8 years. 11 years on a 1-year visa, legally, registered in Delhi, paying the fees. And the guy was, I don't know how it's, you're only supposed to, on a one-year student entry visa, you're allowed to renew 3 times and stay 4 years and get your degree and get out. You're a student, you're supposed to graduate in 4 years or something like that. And then everyone said, okay, this, that. So, well, you're here a long time. I said, yeah, a lot to study, you know. Then one guy, I told him, he checked me, and I was like, that was tough. Krishna helped me. The Mahamantra helped me. Mahamantra Dasan, the Mahamantra. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and he describes this book when he's describing a biography of Prabhupada Saraswati. He says, by reading Vrindavan Mahimamrita every day, one will certainly attain a matchless divine love for Radha Govinda Yugal in Vrindavan. Param Guru Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Matchless divine love for Radha Govinda Yugal in Vrindavan. Is that our sadhya? Is that our goal? Is that our wish? So that, I didn't know about that particular blessing, but I certainly was reading it every day. And I went through it so many times, and I would keep picking out. I made outlines for it, and these many verses covers this subject and that subject. And then I went through many times. I was so amazed by the book, and I used many quotes in my Appreciating Vrindavan book. We all discussed, this is the format for the class. This was the introduction of the description of the book, a little bit about the author. He is one of the Astasakis of Vrindavan, Tungavidya, Chitra, Champak, Lalita Vishaka, Rangadevi, Sudevi, Indulekha. And the description of him is in my Appreciating Vrindavan book, which you can see. There's a brief description of Tungavidya Sakhi. And Tungavidya, knowledge is Vidya, and Tunga means very dense and deep. Tunga. Tunga means very dense, concentrated, condensed knowledge. So she knows music and dance and so many, 18 different branches of knowledge she knows. And she's a little bit older than some of the other Sakhis and quite learned. So she's written some wonderful books. So this is the format for the class. We'll discuss different aspects of the name, form, qualities, and qualities of Vrindavan, and its many forms and resonance, forms of resonance. There's so many Vrijvasis here, the Galeris and the Totas and the Latas and the Pear and the Tortas and Kachua. They're all Vrijvasis. The classes will culminate with the description of Radha Govinda and their Prem Leelas in the crest jewel of all holy places. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. And each class will begin with pranam mantras, and there'll be introductory prayers in English. And then there's first prayer will be Vrindavan Glories 1345. I have all the meters here, and then I'll give out the sheets. I have a sequence of prayers. I have here in my list 9, 10. So the offenses, one thing you should be aware of is offenses to Vrindavan. There are 10 offenses to the holy name. There's also 10 offenses to Vrindavan. Does anyone know those 10 offenses? They're very much analogous to the 10 offenses to the holy name. They're blaspheming the Shastras that glorify the holy Dham. They're blaspheming the Guru who reveals the holy Dham, the Tirth Guru, maybe the same as Diksha Guru, whatever. To blaspheming the residents of the Dham or those who visit the Dham. That's like Saturninda. And to make money on deity worship or chanting the holy name, or I would just say make money, and I would expand it and say make money in any way. In the Dham, buying property to make money. And it doesn't appeal to me because as a guru or as a devotee of Prabhupada said we should speak from we should take a verse and speak from every possible angle of vision. Angle of vision means subjective view. Subjective view, the speaker's view based on tradition, Gaudiya tradition, and itihas, and sahitya, and alankar, and Sanskrit, and Vyakaran, and Shrutis, and Smritis, and Guru Shiksha, and so many bases he will put his ideas. And so that's called his tika, and his elaboration. Every preacher will do that, and Prabhupada wanted that. He didn't want robots. So therefore, on the 10 offenses, so many descriptions can be given, and elaborations. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the 10 offenses to the holy name originate from Padma Puran. And they were actually 10 offenses to Lord Shiva, and they were adopted to the holy name. Or something like that, I forget. There's some history of it. It's in my book, Art of Chanting. So now, that's why it says Shiva, to bless, consider Vishnu and Shiva. That thing. And it's elaborated there in the book, Art of Chanting. So there, on that list, that's 10. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our Paratara Guru, our Guru's Gurus, well Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, of course. The Paratara Guru is Gaurakishore for us. But he said that he had an 11th one, which you may be heard of. What is the 11th offense, the holy name?
To be inattentive while chanting.
One should be more attentive to that offense. To be inattentive while chanting the holy name of the Lord. So that was a new addition to the Padma Purana. And Padma Purana was written millions of years ago, thousands of years ago, whatever is spoken this, that. So that addition was added 100 years ago. So now, to keep up with the contemporary times, one small little sparrow-like teacher has added a 12th offense to the holy name. What is that 12th offense? It is an offense to leave the cell phone on in any mode of tamagun, rajagun, or sattvagun, sleeping, vibration, hibernating, thinking, you know, proactive, almost on, or in any mode while chanting Krishna's holy name or Gayatri. That's basically, you can say, just a variation of the 11th offense. Because if it's on, you're inattentive. Because when it rings, you'll answer it. Or it goes bing, bing, you look, oh, a message. And that's offense to Krishna. You imagine you're embracing Krishna, and he's embracing you, he's giving you his full heart. And you say, oh, wait a second. Because chanting the holy name, he's embracing Krishna, giving your full heart. Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, excuse me, hold on a second. Watch out. Oh, yeah, okay. 2 kilo subject. Okay. Yeah, okay, yeah. It's so ridiculous. The cell phone is more important than your intimate, eternal, loving relationship with Radha and Krishna. Your wife is more important than your eternal, loving relationship with Krishna. Your husband, they're all flakes. There are flakes floating, there are snowflakes floating in the air. You know a snowflake? You've never seen snow. When there's very light snow, it's called a flake. And under a microscope, they have all beautiful designs. Like you take a piece of paper, they say we're making snowflakes. You take a piece of colored paper, and the kitties, and they fold it, they cut it, doot, 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 and then they open it up, and it's all the same pattern. Well, snowflakes look like all these beautiful patterns I've seen under a microscope. They're little crystals, and they just float. They just float, and if it where it's snowing, it's kind of cold, and the ground temperature is a little warmer, then they melt and turn into water and fall. So I think of the family members like snowflakes, just dropping through the air, and then finally, never to be seen again. Melt into the earth, and we put so much heart into them, and so much affection into them, and so much attachment to them, and so much time into them. That's all Maya. Samsara. We do our duty and we try to be affectionate, but our real love and our real attachment is for Radha Krishna Yuga. If we have any other program, it should be minimal. And eventually that program dissolves itself. Self-destruct. Self-destruct mechanism. Because we're forever united with Krishna. Not forever united with our wife, although you get married and they tell you all these crazy vows. Or married forever, or this and that. You can be if you want to be an illusion forever and suffer forever. But Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada, I heard in one place, he said, there's so much, this is 1966, he's saying, there's so much unhappiness in the world. The purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to bring happiness to everyone in the world. A beautiful statement. I wrote it in my diary. To bring happiness to everyone in the world. So we'll continue a little bit tomorrow with the original idea of the classes, how it started. It was very interesting how I got the idea. And then we'll begin by glorifying the first section of classes. These classes may run for some time, like a year or so. I don't know. It's one of those series. And each verse is Radha and Krishna, each verse is Vrindavan. So each verse you're actually visiting the sadhya, the goal of life. So if you attain the goal of life, there's nowhere else, there's nowhere to go. You want to go to the next verse? Well, we're there. This verse was Radha and Krishna and Brajadam. Yeah, but the next verse is another aspect of Radha and Krishna and Brajadam. You want to come? Okay. Zip, you slide in the next verse. Oh, yeah. Oh, now Radharani has a red dress. Oh, this one she had a blue dress. Oh, this is nice. So then that the first one will be about the name, as I mentioned in the introduction. We're going through Nam Rup Gun Lila. So first we'll get into Nam, and I have subtitles. A lot of work I put into the preparation, and just a little sneak preview of the coming attractions in your local theaters. So you'll get all excited about waiting in line when a new movie, premiere movie comes out. What power there is in saying the name Vrindavan, Vrindavan, one time. And when you get out of the train in Mathura and all the tempo wallahs and rickshaw wallahs are there, what do they say? Vrindavan, 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 all day long, three times. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam. Bajagovinda, 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 Mudamate. Vrindavan, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. And if you're in Vrindavan and you're down at the temple stand down there by Hari Nikunj or wherever it is, I don't know where it is now. It used to be Hari Nikunj by the Vidyapit Tarai by Bunky Vihari near there. Then they say, Govardhan, Govardhan, Govardhan. Radhakun, Radhakun, Radhakun. I used to go down there when I was in temple garden and walk down there and get a rickshaw to come out to Radhakun. Because the Namani people stopped and the rickshaws didn't stop at Vrindavan temple. It's like nothing happening over there. So we would go down there. Radhakun, Radhakun, Radhakun. I said, where are you going? Right. Oh, he said, I'm going Radhakun. I said, oh, I don't. Or I'm going to go over. No, I don't want to go over. I want to go Radhakun. Radhakun, Radhakun. Yeah, yeah. Radhakun, Radhakun, Radhakun. So what is the value of saying it once? And that the name of Vrindavan, this is the second topic, is our only refuge. And Maya runs from the name of Vrindavan. And what is this place named Vrindavan? And how this Vrindavan is a flood, this name is a flood of nectar. And how Radha and Krishna are chanting the name of Vrindavan. How they chant the name Vrindavan. Actually, it's Vrindavan. The A is not long. Vrindavan. Vrindavan. It's short. A and Van is short A. It's all, the last is Vrindavan. Vrindavan. But what's, and this is a, all 30 years ago, any Indian from Delhi or anyone saying, I'm going to Vrindavan. Vrindavan. So this is Vrindavan. And this is the monsoon season, and it's coming to Shravan. Shravan time is so, it's like all this greenery transforms into Leela. Because you need a set, every Leela needs a setting. Uripan, and then you need the Vibhava, Lambana, Radha and Krishna. But they create the moods and the bhavas. You need the atmosphere. So, oh, this is a romantic atmosphere. So that's Uripan. Well, the lovers are there, but without any atmosphere, the bhava doesn't rise and the feelings don't move. Because we're feeling organisms. So when now the rainy season comes and prepare the stage, like the stage crew comes and puts all the props to that, then the actors come out and do their thing. The actors, they don't just pull the curtain or some blank stage. Huh? Where there's no props? People say, where are we? What is it? Is this some red curtain on the back wall? Or if they're really cheap, there's just some cinder blocks in the back wall. There's not even a curtain. Cheap theater. You have to have the setting. And then, you know, and the curtain's open and there's real soft light. And there's some moon thing in the back. And then some birds, night birds. Ooh, ooh. And then one guy and girl walk out, and oh, it's night setting. You know, so the whole setting, that's Udipan. So that, the Vrindavan's putting on her dress, she's getting dressed. Vrindavan's getting all dressed up for the service, and all the peacocks are getting excited, their tails are really long, and they're so healthy, and they're so excited with the clouds. Megho, megho, megho. Meg means cloud, ho means come. Come clouds, come clouds. Come Sham, Ganasham, come, come. We'll dance for you, you dance for us. So then Julan comes. And then, and Shravan's when they do the Rasa Leela. Radha and Krishna give darshan in Shravan. Yeah.